Do us a favor. Down in the description, there's a link where you can leave us a message where you can be like, hey, guys, this is my favorite movie, and you haven't watched it yet, but, like, here's why I love it. Like, my favorite movie ever is We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. And you're like, I like when they're like, roll back the rock to the dawn of time. And then, like, we'll watch it, and we'll be like, oh, I do like that part where they're like, roll back the rock to the dawn of time and sing this song with me. That guy, who sounds nothing like my old boss, had a great suggestion. So, like, leave a suggestion. We want to watch your favorite movie. Tell us why it's your favorite movie. Or else. Howdy, I'm George Bailey. This is Francis.
Hi.
And you are listening to 555 Filk.
What movie did we watch today?
We watched Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. Let's try that again.
What did we watch today?
We watched Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, which is really hard for me to say. Rear Window.
And it was not a scary movie like I kept thinking it was going to be.
And I kept telling you, it's just tense.
It's very suspenseful. It was great.
Oh, we're going to do our first offshoot before we start. Did you ever listen to the radio show Suspense?
No.
You would love it. It's just this, but it's half an hour long. Everything is like this.
Do they have that on podcast at all now?
Yeah.
I should look into that.
You should look into this podcast. And don't worry about any others. What did you say?
I already listened to this podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the hosts are wonderful. They're two of my favorite people in the whole world,
really. They're just hilarious.
Just hilarious. You can ask them. What did you think of Rear Window?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think we were watching? Because I know, you already mentioned you thought it was going to be scary. So what did you think we were watching?
So as soon as you tell me that he's bound to a wheelchair because he's injured and he thinks he sees his neighbor kill somebody. That's where everyone goes, oh, yeah, okay, it's that movie. But, like, Rear Window sounds like it's going to be a scary movie or, like...
Wrong turn, or,
like, he sees something happen in his rearview mirror, or, like, he's got a ghost in the back of the car he can only see in his rearview mirror, or something like that.
So, as far as we're aware, this is your second Hitchcock movie. The first was Psycho.
Yeah, I got to see Psycho a couple years ago.
And you were like, I'm not going to watch Psycho. Mm-hmm. It sounds scary.
Yeah, I thought Psycho was supposed to be super scary, and it was fantastic.
It's just tense. It is so tense. This is what Hitchcock does. He has a show as well we could watch. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I was way too young to watch it when I was a kid, and it was like my favorite show. But he would come out every episode, and like, so we saw him in this movie. I tell him, hey, that's him with the piano guy.
That's right.
He makes a little appearance in all of his movies. And the thing with him is he likes his movies to be funny and spooky and scary and tense and everything, and they are.
Okay.
But on his show, he'd come out and be like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. He'd make little murder jokes, and then he'd go on to the show about people being murdered.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. this one, we've got lots of fun in it, as well as all the other stuff. What do you think of... Oh, wait, no. I have to interrupt myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you, like, I need you to picture the little...
Yeah, their apartment complex, how it all comes together.
That's built into a soundstage so that they could make this movie they needed to.
What do you mean a soundstage?
That whole thing that we saw was inside a building.
Oh, wow.
Right? It's very impressive.
Wow.
So normally, you'll have, like, they walk from outside through a door, and now it cuts, and now you're on a stage.
Right? Okay.
And it's called a soundstage, so because they can control sound, they can make sure nobody's coming in, they can make sure there's not birds or planes or anything like that, which they could not do with this kind of a movie where the whole thing's going to be through an open window and all that. So they had to build it inside a building.
Okay.
That is the most impressive thing I've ever seen,
that,
like, in a movie.
That is fantastic.
So good. They sold it.
Yeah.
Like, even the street in the background, the bar and everything, all of it, that's in there.
Wow. It felt like a play, being that it was in kind of one place.
Yep.
Which was really neat.
I love movies like that. That's how Clerks, most of the movie takes place in that one place. When it's on TV, they call it bottle episodes, where everything is in. Cheers is like that.
Cheers is like that, yep.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Frasier, we really only see the coffee shop, the radio station, and his apartment.
Yeah.
A couple other places, but, like, that's most of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that. I don't know why I enjoy that so much, but I do. It makes the place feel more fleshed out and real to me.
Well, that, and instead of being like, oh, look at this cool background or this place that we're going to, it really makes you focus on your dialogue, your plot, your characters, and actually have a well-thought-out show or movie.
So this is a thing that I think Hitchcock does very well. I know he had a casting director and people would do all this, but, like, he had a way of making these people all feel real.
Yeah.
So, like, he could have just been photographer. She could have just been, like, prissy rich girl and nosy neighbor and all this stuff, and they all felt pretty real to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the biggest one that I noticed was Stella. Like,
she's fantastic.
She's got a mind of her own. She's definitely a unique character and, like, well thought out for someone who's just supposed to be his insurance nurse.
She reminds me of a less quirky Minnie from Rosemary's Baby, which I know you have not seen, but, like, the way she's kind of like, no, and you just do this real quick, and then it's fine. Everything's, like, she's just real quick and, yeah. I don't know. She seems like a cool aunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely a fun character.
What did you think of Lisa?
Lisa was more well-rounded than I thought she was going to be. When they first started talking about her, like, I thought she was going to be some empty-headed, white, rich girl. And why is she with this photographer? And it definitely seems like she was born into that money, but she's trying to be more than what she is.
It seems like she's embraced the money and, like, what can we do with it?
Yeah.
To me. But also, like, everything you said about her, except for empty-headed, she is. She is this white girl with all the money and things handed to her and all that stuff. But she does seem to be willing to slum it with, what's his name? Jeffries.
Jeffrey.
His name is L.B. Jeffries, and he goes by Jeff, and I love that, by the way. But she does seem more willing to be like, no, you stop being dumb. I get you're poor. We're in love. Get over it.
Right.
I'll live poor with you, and I'll have my money, and you can have your money, and we can live off of your money if that makes you feel better, is what it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, she ended up being the Princess of Monaco later. Like Grace Kelly, who played her.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see her being a princess. She seems like it. Like the fairy tale type, where, like, kind-hearted and wants to fix things, and but also comes off as regal and elegant and...
Yeah, and everything she's in, she seems the same kind of almost princessy. Like, that's who she looks. The same way Jim Stewart here, like, he only knows how to play James Stewart, but he plays him so well. I love every movie we've seen him in. We've seen him, like, Bumbling Idiot to this photographer to anything else. Like, he's just really, really good at playing his character. He's like Huckleberry Hound.
Okay.
Like, this time he's a pirate, and this time he's a cowboy, and it's just fine. Mm-hmm. He fits. I like it.
I only know him as George Bailey, but he always feels like George Bailey to me. Because he's with the imaginary friend Rabbit.
Harvey.
But, like, it's George Bailey, and I love him.
Hey, he's got the same name as me this episode.
Hey, he does.
Isn't that something? The cop, Tom Doyle.
Ugh. He was an ass. He has no time for his friend. And, like, it doesn't even seem like they're friends. It seems like they're more like frenemies. Like,
they were old war buddies, and now they have to be friends, is what it seems like. But, like, at the same time, his friend is like, you know how you're not a very good cop, and I'm an excellent detective from my wheelchair, peeking out my window. Pretty sure I saw this. Now, part of it, we mentioned where... They're planting a seed of maybe he's just going paranoid from being cabin fever, like, locked up too long.
Yep. And I missed that scene the first twice. Yeah, twice. Times around. I had to go back and watch it after the end of the movie.
I love it, though. Like, as soon as you saw that, you're like, oh, he killed her. He did it. He killed her.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's all that crashing, and then he's out, in and out all night in the middle of the night. No way. He's not hiding a body somewhere in pieces. Like... That dog is sniffing his rose bushes. He did it. Oh, he did it. And then the knives.
Well, part of it, yeah, the knives,
like,
and the saw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody has knives and saw, but, like, why do you need to wash them at 3 a.m?
Right.
And then wrap them up.
When he sits and he's just smoking in his apartment, you just see the cigar light up. That was, like, the best shot to me when I the first time I watched it. I was like, oh, man, that's good. You know, he's just in there and he's just brooding, staring out at the night, wondering what he's going to do next, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
A thing I do wonder that... I also love that we don't get to see... This is like what when we watched Pulp Fiction, we were happy we didn't see the briefcase or any of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they fought about. We know that he brought breakfast in and he's tired of taking it. We should watch... Sorry, wrong number, by the way. But, like, he's taking care of her and then she throws something back and now they fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's gone.
Yep.
We see them leave together, but it's not her. Spoilers. Spoilers, he killed his wife. But, like, all these little things into all the neighbors, I like that we don't get a full picture. So, like, Miss Lonely Hearts, we get a pretty good picture. And she's kind of heartbreaking until the very end.
Mm-hmm. And we have no idea, like, why she's heartbroken if her husband died or left her or, like,
she just never found somebody.
Like, it definitely seemed like her husband had died or left her, I guess. I guess it could go either way. But, like, it seemed like she was used to having these habits with somebody, and now he's gone.
See, we watch that part differently, because I always see it, this is what she thinks it should be like in a relationship, and she never really got to do it.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Well, when she sets up the dinner the first time that we kind of see her, more so, like, it seems like she's going to have somebody over for dinner.
That's the part that makes me think there's never been anyone.
Okay.
Is that scene where she sets it up and she sits down, she's like, yes, you're so charming. I don't know. She's definitely... She's a sad character, but I still like her.
Oh, yeah.
We'll gloss right over Miss Torso. We know what you think. What about the very end when we see her soldier come home, her perfect guy, her love of her life?
He's shorter than I was picturing. And I wasn't picturing her with somebody who was in the army, I guess.
No, this is the guy who, like... She's waiting to come home, which is why she doesn't settle for any of these chuckleheads, even though she gets real friendly with a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they force themselves on her a little bit. Like, she does seem like she's trying to pull away.
And when it is.
And not that she would deserve it or anything, but she does like to do all of her stuff with her windows open. So, like, she wants a little bit of attention. She wants to be seen, even if she doesn't want to be touched.
What about the couple that sleep on the fire escape? The first time when you notice that, you're like, they're sleeping out there.
I noticed him and I was like, huh, he's sleeping outside. And then there's the other lady and I was like, oh, they sleep outside, huh?
with their dog. Oh, that poor dog. But,
like, I forget, air conditioning's not a thing. So, like, it's probably cooler out there. And
at the very least, there might be a breeze.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, so that's pretty nice to be able to get to sleep outside, I'm sure. But then also my brain goes... Yeah, but what if there's a fire and they're blocking the fire escape for other people?
These are the things that people have to deal with back then. What about the nosy neighbor who's like, you're watering too much or whatever it was?
Yeah. Yeah, she's critiquing his gardening skills and he immediately is angry and like, I don't know, maybe I'm just more passive and I'm like, oh, okay, like, thanks but no thanks for your help.
Like, I almost expect him to turn around with those clippers and be like, why don't you mind your business?
he tells her, shut up. Yeah. Like, he's immediately, like, yelling at her instead of, like, a slow build. So I don't know if she just bugs him all the time or what. But that little bit of anger right there, I was like, oh, no. If this is a guy who kills his wife or kills somebody, this is our guy. Like, of all of these neighbors so far that we're seeing. And, like, he sees the... lady who said something about his flowers pass out in the chair, and I couldn't tell the way she was laying. I was like, did he stab her? Like, is she just dead in her chair? And then it goes on, and like, okay, I guess that's not who he kills, but like, I know he kills somebody. He seems like the type who's going to kill somebody in this movie.
So this is Raymond Burr. You've heard of Raymond Burr?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Oh, you have? Hold, please. He was Perry Mason?
No.
What?
I'm sorry.
Okay, so you know how you have recently discovered Columbo and you love it?
Yes.
You would also probably really enjoy Perry Mason because it's the same thing except for now he's a lawyer who's handling those cases.
Hmm. I don't know if I can get over the fact that I see him as a murderer.
He didn't look like that anymore, if that helps.
Okay.
But he was on a ton of the suspense radio dramas I'm talking about. He's really, really good, and he's got a hell of a presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they first starting, they're just watching him. They're really watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts to look real suspicious, right?
Yeah.
The cop comes in and he goes, yeah, but who doesn't do this? Who doesn't do that? Maybe it's just this. You don't know their habits.
Right, he's been watching them for 6 weeks. He does know their habits.
Right, but he doesn't know whether or not the wife wears her jewelry if she's mostly in bed.
That's fair. Yeah, but the cop seems to dismiss it like all cops seem to do, where they don't want to do the work.
I hear
like,
what you're saying. You know, all cops are bad.
No. Every drama that they do, the Dateline stuff, and they're like, here were all the signs, and nobody missed it. But then it's always like, the neighbors were calling about the stench or whatever, and nobody did anything until, you know, way, way too late down the road.
The neighbors were calling about the stench. You're talking specifically about the family buried in the basement. That was a made-up story from the Burbs.
Yeah. Or a rose for Emily. That whole thing.
I don't know what that is.
You have. It's a short story. It's, I believe, Faulkner. It's a story that's told out of order about the neighbors.
Get the Faulkner out of here. I don't have to listen or read that one again.
I might have the name wrong, but I believe so.
Some more of our neighbors?
Yes.
The couple on the thing?
The ones who sleep outside?
The ones who sleep on the fire escape? You know the husband.
Okay.
He's the guy who owns the general store when we were watching Green Acres and a bunch of those. Mr. Drucker. He's just like, hey, you need some more feed for your thing over there? Know him. But the one that you're going to be hopefully more excited to know, the piano player songwriter guy?
Yeah.
That's, I'm not going to get his name right. It's Ross Bagdasarian.
Okay.
Also known as David Seville. Like Dave, like, from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Like Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Or the Witch Doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So that's him. That's the voice of the original Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
Wow.
And Dave.
When this movie was out, was that before or after he was Dave Seville?
He was Dave Seville on the radio for sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I think the Alvin show came out in the 60s. This is 1954, so TV's not really in every home yet.
Okay. I really love his apartment with those windows and stuff. That's beautiful.
I love everybody's apartments, honestly. So our main guy, Jeffrey's, his is, it's like super tiny, but like if I'm a bachelor, like he is, like look at all the shelf space he's got. He's got things full of books over there, and the biggest thing is nobody has TV, so he's peeking out the windows, blah blah blah, but like that's the only thing you don't have room for in that place. Like he's got a kitchen over there, even if it's a kitchenette.
Okay, we don't really see the kitchen. It's behind a wall or something. It's around the corner.
Yep, but like
but
it's
it
there.
Sounds like she's there. Yeah, she's got it. He's got an oven because she brings over dinner.
Yep. I don't know. Everybody had really cool apartments.
Absolutely, I loved the layout with the courtyard and everything too. Like, is that how old apartments used to be, or is it just because this was a set?
Kind of both. So courtyards were a thing. Now we have the complexes that we have instead of like
we have
apartment
real
buildings.
Basic ass. Squared off.
Everything looks exactly the same.
Yep. Every layout is the same.
I don't know if this is painting itself to be New York, Chicago, LA. I don't know. But I know for sure there are still apartments where you have the little courtyard between everything. And
but this one had like separate ones. So there was like, because there was the one where the neighbor was yelling about the flowers. That one separated off from like his and whoever's below him. And then the neighbors with the dog and everything, that had a separate one, and it was like three different levels too. So like it wasn't like flat and squared off. They were like
steps. And that's the thing I think is different from now. So now you go to get an apartment and there's 1,000 buildings all owned by the same company or whatever. They all look the same. They're all spaced the same. I think these buildings were either owned by different people or at least built at different times. So they're just like, yeah, now we need a 4-apartment building here. They build that.
Fair. Or even repurposed buildings. Like the layout, because the layout in his apartment was interesting with the stairs right up to the exit there.
That sucks. for him in a wheelchair.
So the way they were talking about her before she shows up, it sounds like they haven't seen her, that she hasn't seen him in 6 weeks. And so I was surprised that if she hasn't seen him, that there even is a strife about them possibly getting married or not or any of that. I would have figured rich socialite, she's probably moved on to the next new shiny thing that's doting on her. Well, so it's kind of cool that she comes to see him.
It sounds like before his accident, he travels a lot for work. I'm sure she travels for work. I don't know if she's a model or what.
Sounds like she's a fashion designer.
Well, we saw her for sure in the one magazine cover, right?
Oh, okay. At the end?
No, where you saw the negative, you're like, and then right next to it, it shows the picture.
Oh, I just figured that was him taking a picture of her because he thinks she's beautiful.
He does, but he took the picture for a magazine cover.
But he doesn't do that.
He did.
Right, but he doesn't.
But he did.
I don't think he did. Do you see that magazine?
Yeah, it's right next to the negative.
I thought it was just the picture, the real one.
I'm pretty sure it even says time or life.
I don't think it said anything on it. It was just a photo.
All right, hold please.
All right, and we're going to take a break.
While we find out whether or not that picture was in a magazine.
Dun, dun, dun. And we're back. And the verdict is in. It was on a magazine.
So I guess
wrong.
You were right. But we got to go back and see those pictures, and you get to see the one that busted his leg.
Yeah.
Presumably.
That was a really cool shot. I see why he busted his leg for it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
And that poor camera.
Yeah, the camera's real smashed. Speaking of cameras, the Zoom lens came out.
The big one?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be way too heavy for that poor little camera.
You got to support
it. Huge, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That comes out now, and they're like, okay, now you look like a lunatic, sir. Like, binoculars, you look like a creep. Mm-hmm. The camera, you look like a serial killer to me.
Or, like, extra on the Peeping Tom part, because now you're taking pictures of it.
Yeah, Peeping Tom's not against the law, right?
I'm pretty sure it is. Like, how much he just like, I'm just going to throw my leg over here and prop it up on this while the other leg is broken, like, does not seem to notice.
Yeah, he's almost healed. He's in week 6 out of 7. Mm-hmm. I like when his boss calls and he's like, hey, you're going to come back for work? We got this exciting thing. And he's like, I can't come back till next week. He's like, well, see you later, buddy. Right? feel better. Bosses.
That cop, instead of looking for any evidence that could go either way, it seemed like he was only looking for the evidence that was just like, nope, she didn't do it. Or he didn't do it. He didn't kill her.
Well, and I get he can't go in there without a warrant. I understand that completely. You can't look into it. You can't be like, hey, has anyone seen this lady?
Right.
I don't know.
Like, make sure she checked in and
do a wellness check.
Yeah. And like, there's IDs and stuff at this time, right? Like,
the IDs exist.
Like, she'd have an ID if she checked in at this hospital thing or whatever she's at.
If she has a driver's license.
Huh. You wouldn't just have an ID, huh?
Right. And I'm pretty sure this is at a time when driver's licenses are just typed things saying your name and that you can drive.
Oh, my.
I'm pretty sure. I'm checking right now. 1958. They did not have pictures yet.
Wow. Oh, that seems crazy.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have just been a piece of paper being like, yep, I'm Mrs. Murderer and I'm fine. What do you think was in the hat box, I assume, head?
I didn't really want to think about that.
Sorry. We will go away from this. What do you think he was carrying out in his sample box?
Oh, pieces of her, for sure. I don't know where he hacked up, but, like, for sure pieces.
But this is one of those things. So, we got a movie where guy killed his wife, hacked her to pieces, got rid of some of it in 3 different trips, and has probably the head in the bedroom, and you don't see a drop of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchcock.
Yeah, it's so pretty good. I can't believe he killed that dog. Like, all he's gotta do is pick that dog up, put it back in its cage, and give the little string a little tug so they pull the dog back up or something.
Or not even yell at the dog. The dog's gonna go back to the basket. Mm-hmm. He can get rid of the thing, and the dog's like, fine.
Like, still move it, still get rid of it, but like, you know, kill the dog and just bring more suspicion on you.
And that lady's rant, she's like, which one of you killed the dog? We're supposed to be neighbors and none of you want to be neighbors.
Mm-hmm. How does killing the dog not get the police called? Like, they're not even like the dog died. Like, the dog, they said, was strangled.
He snapped his neck.
Somebody did it. I thought that poor thing jumped out of the basket. That whole basket thing made me nervous the whole time.
Like, which is what I'm sure the police would have said. Like, well, how do we know he didn't just fall out of the basket? You know, it's not very safe doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a broken neck. It could have fallen. When we first see Lisa get on board with the whole, I think this guy murdered this fellow. You were just like, oh, she's in it now too.
Yeah.
What do you think about her detective sleuth? Oh man, no. She went up into dude's apartment. Oh
my gosh. That was so stupid of her. So stupid of her. Like, any evidence that they find in there
is inadmissible anyway.
Right.
But he didn't seem to really know the warrant thing, so this might just be like, we know better now because we have to watch the police.
No,
because
he says I can't go in there without a warrant, and they'd have my
badge. No. I'm talking about Jeffries.
Okay, but he's already been told that.
He says, can't you go in there and get some evidence? And then he says, we'll get you your evidence. He says it to with Doyle.
Doyle didn't tell him not to.
Bad cops.
But she's going to go into that apartment? Are you crazy?
And when she's in there, she finds the purse. She's like, here it is. But it's empty. She's like miming at him.
I know. Oh, she made me so nervous over there. And when, like, he walked in. Reason. Yeah.
Tense.
Mm-hmm.
So tense. She yells out, Jeff! As if to say, hey, make sure you look across the street because that's who knows you're in here.
Right.
Throws him right under.
Right. And it's not like he can come help her. Like, he's stuck in that wheelchair. He's got a whole bum leg all the way up to his hip. Like, he can't do anything.
What's Stella going to do? We'll get thrown off a balcony.
Right. She should not have climbed in there. I'm sure they could have come up with evidence in a different way, but she should not have climbed in there.
She was tearing me apart, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. And when the cops come, the Thornwall guy is just like, I did not hit her. I did not.
Jeffrey's lying. I did not hit her. I did not. I do remember when the nosy neighbor next door saw the dog digging around at the plant. She was like, oh, hi, doggy. This movie was remade later as The Room.
Mm. And they just took out the murder part.
No. Oh, no. Wait.
Nobody dies.
Johnny dies.
And Johnny shot himself.
No, that's what we say. That's what we say. But we all know that Lisa shot him.
Does Lisa kill herself at the end of that movie, too?
She should.
I can't remember if it was a Romeo and Juliet thing where now that he's gone and she caused his death.
No, 100% she doesn't feel bad about this. She's okay. Like, he was pathetic, and that's why we need to be get together, Mark. What about the end of this movie? She gets rid of her absolute princess clothes and she's going to wear jeans and a shirt and be like a normie and read a book and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he falls asleep. He's like, yeah, but I could read Bizarre, though.
That was funny. She's like, no, I need an intellectual book while he's awake. And now that he's asleep, I'm going to read my magazine.
But I think it's more... So, like, I'm not going to watch Halloween 4 in front of you because you're not going to like it.
Fair.
But when you fall asleep, it is murder time.
Or even... So I've been reading for an hour or two. Okay, I've read what I can for this book for today. And I need something else.
Time to scroll Bizarre Magazine.
Mm-hmm. I did like when she finally got on board. She seemed to take a lot longer than I would have to be like, oh, wait, he killed his wife?
You legit, like, you saw the blinds go down. You're like, that guy's a murderer. The first time I saw this, Turner Classic Movies was doing old movies at the theater. Mm-hmm. And the few Hitchcock movies I had seen, I absolutely loved. So I was like, oh, I've heard of this one. I should go see it. And then I saw him and his wife leave. I was like, oh, they're going to get Jeffrey's in trouble because he's going to say this happened, this happened, this happened, and the lady left. So I bought it when I saw it. And then the cop was like, yeah, we got three witnesses. Like, oh, man, you're going to be in trouble now?
So you thought he was insane the whole time.
I didn't think he was insane. I thought he was going a little stir crazy.
Okay.
So, like, I think at the time I thought that Thorwald hit his wife or something.
Okay.
And then she was like, that's it. I'm leaving. I can't be here. I'm stressing you out to where you're going to hit me. I'm going to go stay with mom.
Okay.
Which is what seems to be like all the movies and shows from this time period.
Yeah.
But then we have proof. The cop talked to witnesses. We got three or four witnesses that are like, yeah, we saw her. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
We hear that loud crash, though, in the middle of the night. Something is thrown. Yeah. And so I don't know if he meant to kill her or if they got in a fight, items got thrown, and now she's accidentally dead. So now what? Now we hide the body.
I could see that. I think he did it on purpose.
You think so?
I do think so. I think the crash was her trying to defend herself from bed.
Ah.
But I don't know.
We never do see what's broken. Or like him cleaning it up or anything.
I assume it's her TV tray or her TV tray. Her tray that she had her breakfast on.
Mm, okay.
I don't know.
It sounded like glass to me.
Why is the wedding ring proof enough to put him in prison?
Because she should have the wedding ring on her.
Right, but you're allowed to take a ring off. Like, yes, it'd be weird or whatever, but all he has to be like, yeah, she doesn't leave it on. She stays in bed all the time. She puts it on when we leave or whatever.
Mm. Because you're not supposed to take it off. Like, period, it's supposed to be on you till the day you die, through the day you die.
Right, you're not supposed to murder your wife either. Well, I guess if you love her up until that day.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, you loved her till the day she died. It's in the vows. He loved her when she was sick. Now he's allowed, right?
I did wonder if she didn't have any of her jewelry. It sounded like she went to a hospital, and I was picturing like a rehab mental hospital or something, because she's an invalid, they say. So I'm not quite sure what her health and mental issues are. So I didn't know if she wasn't allowed to take jewelry or personal belongings with, just as a safety thing.
So kind of what you're saying as far as a mental health facility, they were called sanitariums.
Okay.
And if you had money, it was almost like a rehab spa kind of a place.
Okay.
Most of the time it was not, and it was sad stories that you see in movies.
Mm.
They don't look like they have a ton of money. When they say she was an invalid, but we see her get up and like yell at him the one time right after breakfast is wrong. He makes a phone call and then she calls him out. I think that's another long distance call to the girl, whoever the girl is. And
forgot about that till this moment.
And I am going back to that other story I was telling you. Sorry, wrong number. She's an invalid. She's not. She's got a nervous condition.
Okay.
So like now we would just call it anxiety.
Okay.
She's got high anxiety, and she can get out of bed sometimes in the movie. I don't know if she does on the radio show, but like her whole thing is like, and I can't leave because I've got a condition. I cannot leave. I cannot leave. And I don't know if it's agoraphobia or like germophobia or what, but she's got a thing where she stays in bed and the whole thing takes place over phone calls.
Okay.
And this one, it seems like she's got the same thing where like she could probably move about the house a little bit, but I bet like she probably shouldn't be cooking near fire or going out into big public spaces or whatever. I feel like it's going to be an anxiety thing.
Okay.
And then I think he was done dealing with it when she threw whatever he made for breakfast back at him.
Oh, yeah. Like, caring for someone 24/7 is not good on anybody's mental health. You definitely need a break.
So, James Stewart, he did 4 movies with Hitchcock.
Okay.
He says this is the favorite of the 4.
Okay.
And probably his favorite movie he did in the second half of his career.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I feel like that's pretty huge because he made some pretty great movies.
Mm-hmm. What other Hitchcock movies was he in?
So he did Rear Window, Vertigo, which I've got on the shelf over here. It's on our list. The Man Who Knew Too Much, and Rope. And Rope is the only one I know nothing about and have never seen.
Okay. Those all sound good, too.
They're all pretty good. Vertigo gives me vertigo.
Oh, no, I might not be able to watch that one then.
It's really good, though.
I might not be able to watch it. I might just have to listen. He did a fantastic job in this.
He really did. Like, his whole thing in the movie is he's sitting in a chair, with the exception of one time when he rolls over to get lotioned, or twice when he gets, like, his rubbed down, whatever, and then once trying to get out of a chair and failing. Like, the rest of the movie, he's just in a chair.
Yeah. And yet, he's still acting. He's still good.
He killed it. He absolutely killed it.
When he's kind of fighting with Doyle, the last scene that they're in before the very end, and where he normally would probably pace away and walk to the window and sip his drink, he's rolling away.
Or when Thornwald. When Thornwald calls, and he's just like, "Hey, I think he's leaving right now. Thornwald's leaving," and then it's silent. He goes, "Oh man, what did I do? I identified myself."
How do you not?
You hear the door slam. You see the lights turn off. You see the door like start to creak open. But like while he's doing it, he's trying to hide in this wheelchair that he can't get out of.
I don't know why he's not calling the police saying there's somebody breaking in. Like
2 minutes. We'll be there in 2 minutes.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's a long time. You got someone coming to kill you though.
Right. But like that's better than 3 or 4 hours.
That's fair.
And, like, they're already halfway to the precinct with Grace Kelly. I don't know if they turn around and come back or send out another squad, or I don't know how big their police departments are.
That's fair.
But like,
or if that was the officer in the area.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, I don't know, a heads up would be nice. Right? Because, like, maybe he strangled him and they thought he died and you can bring him back. What is it? The Heimlich maneuver and all that? Not the Heimlich maneuver, but the
CPR.
CPR.
Thorwald shows up, gets a hold of him. He's hanging out the window.
Oh my gosh, he's going to throw him out the window.
And you gasped so big when his hands let go of that windowsill. There was like a legit...
Oh man, I was so worried for him. He was going to kill him.
Yep.
He's handicapped. You can't kill him.
He's only got a week left and then that cast comes off. So by the end of this movie, that cast is probably coming off like tomorrow.
Right. And now he's in 2 new casts.
Yeah. Broke his legs. He broke 2 of his legs. So good. But he got the girl. He's a master detective. This is an origin story for Batman.
Except he doesn't have any money.
No, but he's going to inherit it. Because now he knows how to get away with murder.
But the guy did get away with it.
Right. That's how he knows what to do, because the other guy didn't do it.
Mm, okay.
All the apartments in mm-hmm. Thorwald's building
mm-hmm.
had working plumbing and electrics and all that.
Okay.
Because they needed that to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitchcock would only work from Jim Stewart's apartment.
Okay.
Everyone else is wearing earpieces. He'd tell them, all right, now I need you to do this, and you to do this. And
really?
The girl playing Miss Torso, mm-hmm. he would tell her, like, okay, time to dance around, do this, this, this. And then when it wasn't her time, she just, like, mostly lived in that apartment for the month that they were shooting.
Seriously?
She had a working apartment. I'm going to stay in this apartment.
What?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's on the notes here, at least, for the movie.
Huh.
Well,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's got full plumbing and everything. And
all right, let's rate this mother. What did you think?
I give this 5 knives out of 5, because this man definitely killed his wife.
Knives out of 5 is pretty good. You gave this 5 out of 5?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
We picked you 2 great movies in
this
a row.
This is perfect. I don't think I could change a thing about this movie. It was good.
Would you watch this movie again?
Oh, yeah.
Like, would this be like an annual to you?
Probably. This would probably be the kickoff for getting spooky.
Getting spooky up in here.
Because it's not quite a Halloween one, but man, it's suspenseful and spooky and just starting to get a little scary.
I also like this movie quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give it 5. At least it's not the remake with Superman, or the almost remake that they're saying, oh no, it has nothing to do with that movie. This is totally different because Shia the Beef has a leg monitor instead of a broken leg and sees his neighbor kill somebody, and it's totally different out of 5.
So I've not seen the Shia LaBeouf one,
yeah,
or know much about it, but just being that it's based off of this and he's got a leg monitor, man, the fastest way to get the cops over there would just be him to leave his yard, huh? And then the problem is solved.
He does that. He absolutely does that. And he sends the neighbor kid who he's flirting with. He's like, hey, go in the house and see if you can find it. And spoilers, they find the lady's body. That movie was so stupid. I wanted to like that movie so much. And they're like, the guy who plays the killer is fantastic, except for he always plays like a, hey guys, I'm the cool neighbor guy, you know, like he wears those white dad shoes and stuff. But then in this one, he's playing creepy the whole time. It's like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. The whole thing is, I don't trust Jack Nicholson. They should have somebody who I do trust playing this part.
And so that all
when he snaps, and he's like, oh wait, did something go wrong? On this one, they got like Mr. Rogers being like, hey guys, I'm going to come kill you. And like, and then he kills you, and you're supposed to be surprised, but you see it coming the whole time, and the beef is in it, and he's yelling, and he's like, yeah, mom, I'm totally an adult now. Gaw.
That movie does not sound good.
It was not good.
I'm glad we watched the good one.
Yeah. The Superman one wasn't terrible. It just wasn't good either.
Mm.
Out of 5. And on that note,
as you filk.
Go filk yourselves.